Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. All right, good afternoon. Everybody enjoy the meatloaf, one of my favorites. Hope you stay awake. Once again, congratulations on winning the Daytona 500. I've been down there every year for the last, it must be 10, 15 years. And I said, I'm not going this year because I'm going to Atlanta next week. And so I'm not going to go. And I said, my wife goes, you know, they'll probably win, right? And I went, yeah, they'll probably win. And sure enough, I'm never going to a Daytona 500 again the rest of my life. So, a bunch of road guys done told me, you stay away. So whatever it takes. I was here at the talk and the pit talk, and so I got to celebrate with some employees. But what an awesome opportunity to start a season being blessed, right, with the winning of the biggest race of the year. So with that said, it's been a few weeks since I've been up here. I hope you enjoyed last week and the week before where we watched the video. But I'm ready to get back going here, and I planned on speaking this message a few weeks ago, sticking with your convictions, but didn't get able to. Let me ask you this. How many people feel like your convictions are under attack today? Like what you stand for? Like you're being asked to compromise what you believe to be true. We're going to look at this today. We're going to go back to Daniel 3. We've done that here at this fellowship lunch before over the years, but from a different perspective. But we're going to look at personal convictions and how do we need to, as believers, in a gracious, humble way, stick with our convictions. Because right now, so many people are compromising the Word of God, what they believe to be true about that. But you got to remember, when we compromise that, we're compromising God's divine order, His moral order. And so if we don't take a stand for what we believe to be true, and I'm going to challenge you here at the end with a video, who will? And so the verse for today, Ephesians 4:14, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's been talking about unity in the body of the Spirit, and he's talking about spiritual gifts. And then he says this, then we will no longer be little children tossed and carried about by all kinds of teachings that change like the wind. We will no longer be influenced by people who use cunning and clever strategies to lead us astray. Think of how long ago that was written, but how much it applies today. That if we're not equipped to stick together as believers in the unity of the body and use our gifts, because there is a strategy out there to divide us, right? To lead us astray. So we have to stick to our convictions. Why? Because it's God's order. His divine order is what's best for humanity. We have the answer to all the hope that the world's looking for. And so I started thinking about this personal convictions. Like, what are my own personal convictions? Now, just so you understand, we're talking about objective things here, not subjective things. All you Tar Heel fans, that's not objective. Okay, that's subjective. I'm a Duke fan, so get over it, right? We're talking about objective things here, convictions that we can't walk away from. God doesn't care who I pull for in basketball, but He does care how I stand for the Word of God and stand against the principalities of darkness that are going against me and all of us as believers. And so listen to this. Personal conviction is a firmly held position or opinion. You have some firmly held positions or opinions? Especially when they become objective, right, about right or wrong. How about this? The quality of showing that one is firmly convinced of what one believes or says. Having to do with beliefs, ideologies, and thoughts. Personal convictions act as your moral compass. So we all have these convictions that kind of help guide us, what we believe, what we don't believe. But there's some core principles and values out of the Word of God that we have to stand firm and say, hey, these are my convictions, these are my thoughts, my beliefs. I believe them because they are true, but not only that, because God has commanded me to live and believe a certain way for the betterment of myself and humanity. And so these are why these convictions should not be compromised. And so as we do this, we're going to go to Daniel 3, and we're going to look at King Nebuchadnezzar. Just so you know, God is going to use him as an instrument of his own judgment, because the people of Judah, the people of Israel, have been walking in idolatry and faithfulness. They've been disobedient. If you know the story, they end up in captivity in Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar is in charge. He is the leader of the world at that point. And Daniel ends up in that captivity with a few other people, and they find favor with him. And in that finding favor, the king sets up and he creates a statue, and he says, you're going to bow to me. You're going to bow to the statue. We're going to read some of this in here. Many of you know it by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've studied that here before, but we'll look at it from a different perspective, and I'm going to make this make sense. So how personal convictions work for us. I want you to think about this. They set us apart from the ways of the world, right? They set us apart. There are certain things that we as believers have to believe. They're major things about God and His Word that we can't be tossed back and forth like the ocean waves. We have to stand firm with that. And so they set us apart from the ways of the world. How about they help hold us accountable to God's standards? That's one reason we have convictions. They help hold us accountable. How about this? They provide witness to those around us about the benefit of the goodness of God's way. That's why we have solid convictions about who God is, what He's done for us, how He's provided a way to save us. And these are things we do not compromise on. However, we live in a world today that is asking us, almost proselytizing us, almost commanding us to compromise those. Why? I'll tell you why. Because for the most part, people want to be right, but not only that, many compromise because they want to fit in. They want a paycheck. They want to be liked. And so they're afraid to stand with their convictions because what will people think of me if I do that? How will people view me? Will I lose a friend? Will someone write something bad about me on social media? What will my employer think? I could go on, my family members, my wife, my kids. And so we have to have these personal convictions because, believe it or not, as believers, they work for us when we stick together. And so we're going to look at this in the scriptures. Personal convictions, they get challenged. You ever had your personal convictions get challenged? Like somebody call you out on those? Well, listen to this. We're going to go to Daniel 3. Damon's going to put it up for us. We're going to read along here. Listen to this out of the NIV. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. I'm going to keep reading. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, listen to this. This is what you are commanded to do. Not ask, but commanded. O peoples, nations, and men of every language, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Could you imagine living in that day? It's real simple. Here's the gold. Here's the statue. And you're going to worship it because I'm commanding you to. And you're going to bow down to it. What do we learn from this? We're going to see here some personal convictions are going to get challenged. In our life, your personal convictions are going to get challenged. Could you imagine if this was modern day? And you're all standing around looking at each other, wondering what everybody else is going to do. Right? Because that's what we do. You ever notice in church, or you're like, one person stands up, everybody stands up. One person sits down, everybody sits down. Everybody's watching. What does everybody? One person claps, everybody claps. Everybody's waiting to see what everybody's going to do. Could you imagine living in this day thinking, wait a minute, but we follow God. Should we be worshiping an idol and bowing to a statue? Well, listen to this. You will be asked or commanded to go against the will of God. This is going to happen in your life as a believer, especially if you let people know you're one and you're very open about it. There will be a consequence for not going along. We're going to see that here. What is the consequence nowadays? Well, nowadays we cancel, people lose jobs, all kind of things. People are no longer friend you. Some people get divorced over it. Marriages fall apart. There's consequences, believe it or not. How about this? Many will cave in and follow the masses. And this is what we see happen. We look around. What is everybody else doing? And I don't want to be that one person. So I'm going to just do what everybody else is doing. And so what do? They, in this case, many people choose to bow down. So let's keep reading. There will always be someone against your convictions. Did you know that? If you're a follower of Christ, there will be always someone that doesn't believe the way you believe. But not only that, they'll be against it. They'll be against it. We often see that in public prayer where people are asked to pray. And believe it or not, you see this locally in sports and other big events where they'll say, we want you to pray, but will you not pray in Jesus' name? Like, you can pray to God, but just don't bring Jesus involved, right? And so we see this happen. Somebody's going to be against your convictions. Well, let's keep reading starting in verse 8. At this time, astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. So they respected him. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. So all of a sudden now we have a tattletale has jumped in, right? So we're all bowing, but what about those guys? Why aren't they bowing? So now somebody doesn't like this personal conviction, and we got a tattletale. Somebody needs to know, right? Because I don't like what they're doing because we have to do it. And so we see this. Many people will want you to follow their orders. They're going to want you to follow their orders. Not only that, they will want you punished or canceled if you don't. We see that today in the world we live in. There's a certain way that we see going on in the world where Christians are being challenged about their personal convictions. And if they don't go along or agree to it or condone it or say it the right way, what happens? Well, now we're going to punish you. And it's not like a punishment like in this day where they just put you in a burning fire. It's different. They destroy your character. They assassinate your character. They cancel you. They talk bad about you. They try to bring people into their corner. And so we see this happening here. Someone, the astrologers, are not too happy about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so what's next? Well, you will be confronted about your convictions. So not only have they been told on, now they're going to be confronted. Okay, so we hear that this is what's happening. Now let's confront them. So let's go to verse 13. Furious with rage. You ever had rage? It doesn't say he was just angry. It says he was furious with rage. Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true?" So he's searching for the facts. "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you did not serve my gods or worship me or worship the image of gold I have set up?" So he asked a question. "Hey, let me just get the facts straight. Somebody's tattletaled on you here, and I just want to make sure it's true. Are you not worshiping me? Are you not bowing down to my statue? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good." So he's giving them hey, you get another chance at this. We see this in the world we live in today. Did you say that? Do you believe that way? Did you really not say that? Well, I'm going to give you a chance to apologize, or I'm going to give you a chance to say something different. See, this is what the king is doing here. He's giving them a chance. It goes on. "But if you do not worship it," so there's a ramification now. "If you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue from my hand?" I think this is important here because you're going to be confronted about your convictions if you trust the God you serve in the Christ who saved you. You know why I know this? Because we see it every day all throughout the world that we live in with Christians. Since the beginning of time, since Jesus existed, we see people that have been in a position where what? They're threatened. You're going to be threatened. In this case, they're threatened with being thrown into a fire. But you're going to be threatened in our day. You're going to be threatened with being canceled. You're going to be threatened with losing your job, which you'll lose your paycheck, which you may lose character where no one else will hire you. And I could go on and on. All these things are going to happen. You're going to be threatened. So you can decide, do I really want to stick with my convictions? Or should I just cave in here? You're going to be looked down on. We're often worried about what the other people think of us when we bow to our, you know, when we kind of give away to our convictions. But we don't think about the people that are on our side that are going, hey, stand with us. Right? And then not only that, you're going to be challenged. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they've been challenged. What you going to do? You going to bow or you going to burn? That's pretty heavy, right? I mean, think about it. Let's be honest. No one's throwing us in a fire right now here in America. No one's burning us, right? We're just going to lose some friends and who knows what, they may block your social media. God forbid they do that. Right? And you don't have anybody else to like you, right? But we see it happening today. It's just different. And so what are we to do in a case like this? Well, I believe we have to take a stand. We do this in a gracious, in a mercy-filled way. We do this in a way that only brings light to who Christ is by loving people. But we do what? We take a stand. Let's go to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. I'm not sure which one spoke, but it's speaking like they all did. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves." You ever felt like you had to defend yourself? He says, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. He says, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king." I want to stop right there. So their faith is in the one true God. We're not going to defend ourselves. You do what you need to do. But I'm going to trust God. That sounds good, right, in real world? But what if the king don't buy into that? Well, listen to what they say next. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. In other words, we're going to stick with our convictions here. We're going to trust God in this. But you know what? If somehow we get thrown in the fire anyway, oh well, we're not changing our mind. We're not going to serve your gods. We're not bowing to your statue. We're going to stand firm. And the uniqueness is all three of these guys stood together. Do we do that? If you're with someone or some friends and their convictions are being challenged, do you kind of walk away? I'm going to leave that to them. I'm out of this, right? I don't want to be a part of that. Or do you stand firm and go, I'm with them. So whatever you're doing to them, you're doing to me. Do we do that when it comes to our convictions? Well, we take a stand because we have to do what? As believers, we have to trust, put our trust in what is right. It doesn't matter the consequences. It's like, what is right? Do you realize I'm doing that right now by speaking this message? This will be podcasted. Anybody can hear it. But there's a point where you got to do what is right, regardless of the consequences. Not only that, you trust God regardless of the outcome. They knew the outcome. They're going to be put into a fire and burned alive. So let's keep going. So your stance has the ability to make change. This is the important part, is we miss that when we stand for what we believe to be true and know that God's with us, it might just change somebody. It may not change the people per se that are against you, or it might. Listen to this in Daniel 3:24. I'm going to keep reading here. Oh, excuse me. 16 through 23, I read that. I'm going to keep going at 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. So he's mad. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter. Not one time or two, but 7. Than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Think about that. Pretty savage, right? Other people pulled into it, and they were just following orders. And so you take a stance because it has the ability to make change. I want to continue on in verse 24 here. This is important. Listen to this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors. He said, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. Think about that. He sees people in a furnace. He thought we're going to make them evaporate immediately. He's put 3 in. He sees 4. He asked them to come out. Listen to this here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw what the fire had, not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Could you imagine? I'm going to keep reading here. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, be cut into pieces and their houses be torn into piles of rubble. He was kind of a mean king. For no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. Pretty crazy story. We read about it when we're kids in Bible class. It's pretty savage, though. Three men said, nope, we're standing by our convictions. Not knowing what the outcome is going to be, they trust God. God protects them. They come out. They end up being promoted. So what does that mean for us? Well, that stance had the ability to make change, but it does for us too. See, when we trust that God, we have to trust that he's going to move on our behalf. That's what they believe. God will save us. But if he doesn't, we're sticking with our convictions anyway. We have to trust that someone has recognized your stance. There's definitely people that are going to be against it, but who's watching around you to see if you're going to stand? And then third, trust that your personal convictions will be held in a place of honor. This is important. The king recognized their convictions and promoted them. What does that look like for us today? Nobody's throwing us in a fire. We just have to deal with all kinds of things where we're challenged every day to stand up for what we believe and hope that no one cancels us or fires us or does something to us that causes us harm, physically, mentally, emotionally. What does that look like for us today? Well, as believers, we have to remember that God's called us to do something, and you're going to have to stand up to your convictions to do it. You're going to have to tell someone that Jesus is the way. Why? Humanity is desperate for hope right now. And the only one that can save us and humanity is Jesus. So what does that look like for us? Well, you're going to have to stand with your convictions. Why is that important? Because you never know what will happen on the other end of that. Watch this video.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it, though he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad. and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ. And of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met and never will.
You never really know, like, what standing for your convictions will do down the road. Never forget that God's with you, right? We have to never forget that. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed. And because of that, they were promoted, not demoted. And so we have to trust God and not man when it comes to our convictions. We see Matthew 28, and remember that I am with you always until the end of time. Jesus telling his disciples as they were going out to spread the message of the gospel. And then not only that, 1 Peter 5:10, you stand for your convictions may bring suffering, but God will restore you. How do I know this? Well, in the God of all grace who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And so to close out the story and go to prayer, we go to Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. That's from the king. Now we don't know if the king became a follower or a believer, but much that we read in here shows signs that he did. Why is that? Because some people decided to stand for their convictions. So I want to encourage you, right? There's never been more of a pressing time right now than stand up for what you believe when it comes to God's word. And trust that God will see you through it, right? When you stand for your convictions, God will put you in places and do things according to his glory that you may not ever see. And I can only imagine that young man getting up to heaven and meeting her and going, it's because of you that I'm even here. So we have to stand with our convictions. Let's pray. God, thank you for our opportunity today to hear a little bit from you. And so, God, we know that we live in a day and an age not much different than the day of Daniel, where many are still against you for their own pride and their own reasons. So, God, help us be believers that take a stand in a loving way, in a gracious way, Lord, that we are not afraid to share the hope that is found only in you. But not only that, God, that we would take a stand, not just for Christ and salvation, but a stand for your order, your moral order that's under attack. God, help us to be brave enough and have the courage to say no where we need to say no and trust in you along the way. And so as we do that, we're going to need your help, Lord. So we just continue to pray your continued favor on this group. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at gotomro.com. Take care and God bless.